You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. So Matt has tried the new gerbil in there. The gerbil was named Fluffy, and Fluffy didn't make it. So we got to go to the Lizard Wizard and get a few more and figure out what we can figure out here. So the phones may or may not work. So Bruce, Ash, and I are just going to
We don't have need to, the stinking phones.
Well, we always need the phones. I like getting calls from the human beings that are listening to our show. Oh, Matt just did a thumbs up. Look at that. That's amazing. Remember, we got our folks from Sarah somebody. This is good. Perry from Heritage Foundation is going to be on the phones.
Senior person or a junior person?
We're going to have to ask her. I never know. So there's an article that came out in that they did in the Mesa Tribune, and it talks about, you're going to love this, it's about gender policy, right? But they actually mention and not just the Ganado Unified School District,
Yeah. Also
one that rhymes with EUSD locally. So TUSD that made Valerie Cavazos' radar made the Heritage Foundation radar. So not that anyone should be in shock.
The progenitors of the Project 25 Heritage.
I love the...
That everybody says this is a Trump Project 25.
Well, so the guy Jensen from CNN, Scott Jensen.
Yeah,
I like Bill Maher refers to him as Lonely Scott because he's sitting out there, the only guy making sense over there.
Absolutely. Actually asking questions that the media is supposed to be asking.
Correct.
In a polite sort of a way.
No, he's been very nice. He's been doing it in a classy, firm manner, which you got to do in that area. So, but let's go to Bill number two. He wants to get on the El Paso talk. Billy, hey, what's shaking?
Good morning, guys, and good morning to all the Wakeys. Your comments about the El Paso comparison to Tucson reminded me of a conversation I had with a guy shortly after I moved here, and it was probably very early in the 90s, probably 1990 or so. And I'm playing golf with this guy, and we're having a lot of fun, and find out that he lives here in Tucson. He lived in Ventana Canyon golf area, and
right near my voter registration information.
Yeah, and so as we get to chat in more, he has all of his businesses in El Paso, and I'm thinking that's kind of tough. You got to drive back and forth to El Paso, and he goes, "Oh God, no, I don't drive." He goes, "El Paso's a much better town for business. Tucson's a really nice place in certain areas to live." He said, "I'm a pilot, and I have my own plane, and I fly back and forth two or three times a week."
It's harder than hell to get to El Paso from Tucson.
Yeah, but if you got your own plane and you're flying, but I thought, well, that was kind of I don't know how long it takes to fly over there.
It's, probably about an hour or so.
Yeah, so it really wasn't that big of a deal. But what amazed me, and I wasn't involved in anything in Tucson when I first moved here, still not really, but for him to say, he wasn't being sarcastic. He just said it's a great business town or a better business town than Tucson, but Tucson's, a prettier place to live than
that's
El
true.
Paso. So I thought that was interesting, but I would have never thought of that unless you guys were, talking about that. But good to hear the gerbils are back.
They are. You guys get stronger back than ever.
See you guys.
We're juicing them with steroids now, so to try to make it better. Before we go to break, Tucson, keep Tucson crappy moment. They built a new Starbucks on Speedway and Country Club, and they decided to tag it with boycott for Gaza and free Gaza.
Right on.
So the Jew haters are rocking and rolling in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, there's another Starbucks they built at Campbell and Grant.
Yes.
It has been empty for like 3 months. The building's done. I finally saw people walking in it.
What corner on Campbell and Grant is?
The Bookman's corner.
Oh, okay. Because that's I thought that's where the Angie's Lobster Shack was going to go also on that corner.
Angie's is up just a little bit.
Oh, okay. Oh, Angie's going to be where Frankie's was?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they're actually, you know, it's the construction's kind of slowed down a little, I thought.
Okay.
But there's one by Park Mall, and another one, I think, up northwest by you, right?
Nope, not yet.
Not yet.
So, if I want to get Angie's Lobster Shack, I got to go into the hood to get my my lobster.
That's disappointing.
What?
I got it right down the street from my office, which is great.
Hey, Mayor Ed in Marana.
Get on the stick, Ed.
Get Kurt Whitty up to Phoenix, and let's crank out some Angie's Lobster Shacks in Marana so I don't have to go down to Campbell and Grant to get a lobster.
That's right.
A lobster roll, for God's sakes.
And what is it, $9.95 or something for the lobster?
It's about $9.95 to $10.95 that gets you your lobster roll with real lobster from Maine, right? French fries, good French fries, and a drink.
That is a ganga. Is it like a 6-inch bun or something?
Yeah, it's like it's actually like almost like a big thick. I'll show you a picture off air when we get off air. It's about a picture. It's like a Texas toast roll in a way.
Okay.
And then you get a choice of a thing of hot butter or more of a mayo thing dressing that you can put on top of it yourself. Control your moisture, as they say. So, but and then they have these Angie Prime Grill, which is now part of the one, started becoming part. So they have separate ones and part of the lobster one where they have, you know, chicken, steak, or shrimp, and you get that a variety of ways also in the same kind of price range.
And this is the same couple that started Salad to Go, right?
Yeah, they started Salad to Go, sold it, did this, and then they also do breakfast stuff at Angie's Lobster Shack. So you basically get like a almost like a McMuffin thing, but much better, but a little bigger than a McMuffin. That, a drink, and the French fries. They call them breakfast fries. They're a little different. And that's $4.95.
Jeez. Well, and Salad to Go has breakfast features there as well.
Yep, they do. They have the little breakfast burritos, right, and their little sausage nugget weird things in there, but I'm sure they're fine. They're fine. All right, 7:14 in the morning, we're doing Boston v. Foreigner. Heritage Foundation at the bottom of the hour. You know what we'll do? We'll save Kazmar. I don't know if we'll get the Kazmar today, because I know I want to get the Bruce's movies too before it's over, but we'll do the Valerie Cavazos thing on. That'll lead into Heritage talking about.
Good segue.
Yes. We're going to stay on the education thing here a little
Taking
bit.
Taking the high
road. So when we come back, we'll play the Valerie Cavazos piece on KOLD that talks about the possible fudging of attendance records at TUSD.
Is this like the missing 818,000 jobs?
That's true. Excuse me. Very verklempt.
So it's alleged and possible that it cost them $230,000. Just putting that out there.
You are correct. So
you know, allegedly.
So Matt, you know what we do when we come back? I do want to play the actual piece when we come back, okay? When we come back. So, all right. Uh-oh. See, that's the most important call we have. So well, before we get to Val, when we come back,
we got his juices flowing here.
Mayor Ed from Marana's on, and we're going to talk about how he's going to get us an Angie's Lobster Shack before it's over. So save me from Campbell and Grant, Ed. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice. 7:20 in the morning, Foreigner versus Boston today. Kurt Schmidt list, appreciate it. And, you know, Brad Delp and Lou Graham could belt out a tune, both of them. Pretty amazing voices of the rock era. Let's go to Mayor Ed Ahoney of Marana, who is going to make a vow to get us a Angie's Lobster Shack. Mayor Ed, you're on with Chris and Bruce. Good morning, my friend.
Well, I was going to tell you, Kurt Schmidt works for the town of Marana, too. wanted to throw that in there. I'm actually calling as a member of the El Paso, Texas Chamber of Commerce, and I want to talk about El Paso.
Tell us.
And I have friends that have a business in Las Cruces and El Paso. You know, they're 30 miles apart.
Yep.
And go spend a couple days with them every year. And last year when I was there, they said, let's go to downtown El Paso for dinner and to look around at the shops. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. You know, thinking of Tucson. Went to downtown El Paso, had dinner on the third floor roof of one of the hotels down there, looking at the beautiful skyline. They've renovated their downtown. It's absolutely beautiful, very walkable. The architecture inside of some of those restaurants, it'd be worth it to just go look at that, let alone the food. But downtown El Paso, old downtown El Paso, is awesome.
Yeah, we keep hearing it over and over again. And I was just showing Bruce some pictures of downtown El Paso. You could just see they got their stuff together, man.
There's a fountain that's working.
Yeah. We can't do fountains in downtown Tucson.
They have a lot of stuff, and I just want to say they did it right. They have restaurants. There's all kinds of retail shopping. It's kind of a tourist district, if that's what you want to make it, but several good places to eat, and they're full, and all kinds of shops, that support the local merchants and stuff as well. But El Paso, I mean, I make fun of them a lot of times, but and my friends live there. But I mean, but downtown El Paso is awesome. I would recommend it to anybody.
No, it's totally two different worlds, man. I tell you, it's just.
And, you were talking about restaurants in the area, Luna Cafe. And Javier has taken over the old stockyard. So whenever you and Lisa want to collect your lunch, that's where I'm going to take you.
I'd be honored to go to Luna Cafe with you. I think that'd be great.
That's an inside story for the people that don't know what's going on.
But, absolutely. So Kurt Woody is going to work on getting us a Angie's Lobster Shack in the great town of Marana. Is that what I got to work on, Kurt? Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. Just give Kurt a call and work on him. We'll find a spot.
I know you will.
The demographics are right.
Man, I was out at a soccer game out at the Gladden over there off of Lon Adams and Gladden over the weekend, and I see that
aren't those beautiful fields?
They are beautiful fields, man. As the region's regional soccer field snob, they're in nice shape. And it was nice to see your super terrific giant mega fries is almost getting there.
Hey, they're talking about September 7th or something like that. So we're really excited. You know, town of Marana is moving up and up and out.
Leading community in southern Arizona.
No longer Dog Patch.
Who called them Dog Patch again? No.
Franzi used to call them Dog Patch. It ain't Dog Patch anymore, Mayor.
Nope.
Well, no, I think one of the leading communities in southern Arizona. I mean, I may be prejudiced, but I think we're doing quite well.
Oh, you're right.
Well, the metrics and just driving around show it, right? That's where you're at, right? Yeah.
I just wanted to say, you were talking about El Paso, and I have good friends that had taken me to downtown El Paso for dinner and to look around and everything. They did a phenomenal job on it.
Amen. Mayor Ed, thanks for the call as always, and I'll call you for a Luna Cafe date very soon.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, my friend. 790-2040 is the phone number. The great mayor of Marana, Arizona, Ed Honey, talking about El Paso and
that's
lobster.
That's one town where term limits would not be a good thing.
It's true.
When you look back, It's been these extended leadership periods.
But it's rare.
It is. I agree.
Right? I mean, no one needs Raheena Romero for 16 years.
No one needed her for 3 minutes.
Right? No one needs Mouth Breather for 12.
Just saying.
Don't need it. Let's go to Brushfire Sean. Sean, today's Tuesday, right?
I'm trying to think what is today? What is, oh my God. Yeah, of course it's taco every day.
Thank you.
It's tacos every day. I found a little place over on Bellevue. Anybody wants to come up there? Anybody can come in. There's a little BFW up there on Bellevue, and it's about 5,600 East. I guess that's put it to like Rosemont area, war zone. I'm talking war zone, but there's a great little guy in there. He's a Louisiana, Texas guy, and he does great barbecue. $2 tacos tonight, $1 wings. We went there and had dirty rice and fried catfish Friday night.
$1 wings? Are there beaks growing out of those things? Jeez.
No, he's got his wings are right there. His wings are right there with Rocco, and I can compare because I can do compare and contrast. We did Rocco on Sunday, and we did wings there on Friday. But yeah, I was just kind of thinking of a list because I cut my teeth in this town when I came here. You know, I started this place down here, and then went somewhere else. and I was in the machinery moving business, and a small list of who we took out of here. It started with IBM. That was where I cut my teeth and learned how to move machinery. It was IBM. We were taking them out. 1990, we were finishing it up. I mean, this has been a six-year project, but in 93 and a half, 94, hold on one sec. Sorry about that. I started there and then went to ACCO Swingline. We took them out, took them to Mexico. We took Rainbird out. Believe it or not, we took Rainbird from here to Corona, California. They moved from Tucson to California, for God's sakes.
Corona really sucks.
Elevator.
Where's Corona?
Well, now, wait a minute. Fender guitars. Got to give them a little bit of a break. Fender is still there. Fender still got the factory there. So they have one thing going for them, and great horse property, if you can afford $12 million. Weiserlock. We yep. spent 2.5 years taking Weiserlock from here down to the really nice business park down in Nogales. Weiserlock just couldn't even make it in Tucson, so they moved to Mexico. A place called AAA Plastics. You might know the place, Bruce. It is now where Dragoon Brewery is, the big, huge industrial thing on the south side of Grant, kind of Grant and, I don't know, by the Del Taco there.
Yeah.
That big, huge place. AAA Plastics inhabited the entire, one of those entire buildings was AAA Plastics, probably 70, 80 employees. We took them just north of Corona, California, to another, they had a plant there and they couldn't make it in Tucson. G&G Plastics was right over here by DMV. They had like 50 plastic injection molding machines. They wouldn't make it here. We did Brown. You guys know the name of the Texas Instruments place, the Brown.
Burr Brown.
Yeah, we spent about a year and a half taking those people out. They couldn't make it.
Well, that was a merger situation. But they didn't find Tucson a great place to work.
So, well, they're still here. We did Texas Instruments over at Williams.
I do want to add on to this list real quick. So Margo and I had a meeting over at the Mercado off of Congress yesterday. And so we kind of came the back way over the bridge there, which took me past the Caterpillar building. And I said, well, let me pull in there and take a look at how many cars. Because I was supposed to be 500 employees over there, right? There are no more than 25 to 30 cars at the giant Caterpillar building.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah. So. Oh, there you go. McCullough Chainsaw, they went away. And Tom Scholes for the win. Electrical engineer turned guitar player.
Thank you very much. All right, Sean, good call, buddy. Have a good day.
Yes, keep the faith, man. Have a great day. Be safe out there.
All right, when we come back, we have Sarah Perry coming up from the Heritage Foundation. Wake up. All right, we're doing Foreigner v. Boston today as part of our Battle of the Bands playlist. Bruce Ash, Christopher D. Simone, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire, ESQ. Remember, next Wednesday... Tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, excuse me, is the memorial for Paul Marsh, Korean War vet, driving force behind the Marana Veterans Cemetery and the Korean War Veterans Chapter that our friend Margo runs here. So 12 noon, a week from tomorrow at the Veterans Cemetery. Let's go to Sarah Parshall Perry from the Heritage Foundation. I don't know why she wanted to come back, but she did. So welcome back, Sarah.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
You're on with me and my friend Bruce Ash. So
good to talk to you both today.
And again, senior legal fellow. None of those junior legal fellows being sent to us by Heritage.
No. I'm definitely of a higher echelon. It's a while to make senior legal fellow, but happy to... report, I have indeed made the rank.
I was last time I saw Kristen a couple of years ago, I said, do the junior fellows, do they just leave them like in a back room and no one refers to them until they become a senior fellow?
Well, they come to me for a lot of advice.
So you guys were in you guys wrote an article in the one that Kristen sent me was in the Mesa Tribune up in Phoenix.
Yeah.
But talking about gender activists taking aim at Arizona parents' rights. And it also included Tucson's own beloved yet bedraggled Tucson Unified School District. So what's going on, Sarah?
Yeah, we've got policies coming out of that school district that are actually hiding gender identity information from custodial parents. And, you know, this is something, you'll have to forgive me, this is D.C., guys.
Well, of course.
You are hearing it as it transpires. These policies are patently unconstitutional. And that school district is one of more than 1,200 school districts across the country that are hiding, that have expressed policies that hide gender identity information about these minor children from their parents, which is not only unconstitutional, it's actually something about which the Supreme Court has been asked now to weigh in, not just once, but twice, because two cases have gone up to the Supreme Court on what's called a petition for cert. As you gentlemen know, that means a request for review. And what we're looking at is ultimately, I think, something that they're going to be forced to address. And the Supreme Court hasn't made any mention of the parental right since Troxell v. Granville in the year 2000. So it's been now 24 years since they've actually weighed in on the parameters of the parental right. They have proved notoriously allergic to that notion. And I think we're ultimately going to see a reckoning of sort of the ghost of Bostock, when the first idea of gender identity or transgender status recognition sort of took its place in the paragon of civil rights canon. And I think it's going to be sort of a really rough road to hoe. But a lot of these parents, including those there in Arizona, are going to have to ask for themselves to demand to know what identity their child is expressing at school.
The so this is the same Supreme Court that four of them said it was okay for illegals to vote in a U.S. election? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, that's the very same, unfortunately.
We could do a whole show on that. So what we're talking about is kids in elementary school age or middle school or what, and the idea that this is the same school dynamic that if you have to give the kid a Tylenol, you got to get written permission from the mom, the custodial parent, but they can keep their gender identity from that same person. I just want to make sure we're keeping this cool.
Yeah, you've got to sign a permission slip for a kid to take a bus ride on a school field trip, to take a Tylenol, or to go home sick. But you can apparently hide gender identity information about that minor child from that child's parents. Listen, these are kids that can't vote, buy alcohol, buy cigarettes, register for the draft, or sign a contract. So for some reason, I think America is ceding, at least in D.C. and the sort of bluer portions of the country, we're ceding control of our own families to the radical left. And we are basically taking a step back, and we're refusing to question what we're hearing coming from Washington and cultural elites and social media celebrities, and not doing our own due diligence in the lives of our own children. That, to me, as a mother of three children between the ages of 15 and 20, is unconscionable.
Well, we have to educate the ignorant parents of the world, right? So I assume none of your three kids went to a K-12 government school, right?
Well, I tell you what, they all started in government school, and my oldest did indeed graduate from a public high school. I have since pulled out my younger daughter and younger son. They are now at two private schools, religiously affiliated private schools. But they started in government schools. Listen, as the former assistant secretary for civil rights, a senior counsel who really believed in the mission and the equality and accessibility of education for everyone equally, not as sort of a tool for special interests. I was very passionate about the notion of, you know, my kids, two of them need IEPs and 504s. So we started in public school, but after a certain point and a 30% literacy rate post-COVID, we have basically had enough.
Well, that's higher than TUSD. Last time we looked, it was at 16%. So you guys are doing good.
Yeah, real good.
So, quote from your Mesa Tribune article, like many others, the Tucson Unified School District's gender policy defines gender identity as, quote, an individual's internal sense of gender. This internal sense might be anything from a fleeting feeling prompted by a suggestion on social media to a clinically significant diagnosis of gender dysphoria requiring medical treatment, or their teacher says, yeah, you might be a girl instead of a boy. That's, I added that
bingo.
Part.
Yeah, bingo. And here's what we know is when children are socially transitioned, and that means that school educators, administrators say, okay, we'll use those pronouns. Yes, you can use that bathroom. Yes, you can play on an opposite sports team. Here, and in some cases, We even have a gender closet for you if you want to cross-dress at school. When they actively socially transition these kids, they have an increasingly likely possibility of going on to medically transition. And that's something from which there is no coming back. Those are lifelong consequences.
So is that in-school grooming coming from teachers that also have their own problems psychologically with their gender?
Oh, I would say that's part of it. And what else is part of it is the outsized influence of the teachers' unions, the NEA and the AFT, both of whom are beholden to the Democratic Party and to President Biden's Department of Education. And they are pushing, not education. Remember, these unions voted down a resolution 2 years ago to actually increase literacy in math and reading for American school children, voted it down. But what they did vote up was an abortion resolution. Okay, so you can see exactly where the teachers' unions' priorities are, and it's not America's children. Those are the ones who are in partnership with the radical left in D.C. and elsewhere to push through a progressive narrative and not to focus on school education for minor kids.
So I just want to make sure, did Sarah Perry have anything to do writing the diabolical Project 2025?
I was not one of the authors, but I tell you what, if I end up back in the administration, you best believe there are going to be some significant changes.
So in the Project 2025, and we've already had some people on from Heritage to talk about it, on the education side, does 2025 cover, what does it cover in this sphere that we're talking about now?
Removing gender identitarianism from public schools, getting illustrated porn, yes, illustrated porn out of school libraries, and ultimately, and if God tarries, dismantling the Department of Education. And I am on board for all of that.
So we've talked about, and many candidates have talked about, dismantling the education department. And to me, I don't understand why it still exists anyway, but give us the problem with the Department of Education when it comes to delivering a good education to a K-12 student.
Well, the problem is we've got a large pro-government, big government, centralized agency for which there was no constitutional or statutory authority to even exist in the first place, and we all know that. This is something that should have been left to the states to govern at the micro level, where, in fact, governors and school superintendents can develop instructional standards, make sure children are reading up to the levels that they need to, that they are as proficient in math as they need to. And the problem is, when you send all of that influence to Washington and you take it out of the hands of local educators, you have subsequently what we're seeing now, which is GSA scores that are really in the middle of the pack for all developed nations. That is unconscionable for a nation that funds the Department of Education to the tune of $111 billion a year. It is the most expensive of all the federal governmental agencies, and we have nothing to show for it.
Wow, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit there when you said $111 billion.
That is exactly it. We have all of the money in the world, and we have no proof that the money we're expending on federalized education is doing anything to increase the quality of education at the micro level where kids need it, desperately need it the most.
Now, we beat on some elected officials like rented mules here at Wake Up Tucson, but there's two groups I want to give a little shameless plug to, because to me, the literacy thing is so abhorrent right now, right? That, again, information is more free and available than ever, but we have a bunch of illiterates that are cranking through our school districts and who are already out of the school districts, right? And so one is the great state of Mississippi, right? Who knew I was going to say that, right? If you read an article called The Mississippi Miracle, they decided 10 years ago they were teaching reading wrong, right? They got away from phonics and things like that, and they put real resources towards that third grade reading level, right? So they were like the worst in the country. Now I think it's 87% of the third graders are reading at level now, right?
That's unbelievable.
Right. And now someone from Mississippi is now at Maryland. They're going to try to do the same thing in Maryland. But and then locally, we have a school district here called Marana in the northwest side of Tucson. And they actually, as a think about this, an elected body admitted that the school was doing something wrong in reading. And we're going back to phonics and things like this. So we just had a board member on, Tom Carlson. So check this out, Sarah. A year ago, 4% of their third graders were at reading level. Post-pandemic made it even worse, right?
Wow.
So yeah, he came on a year later, which was 10 days ago. They're at 30% of the kids are now reading at level because they admitted they made a mistake. So think about this. What elected body do any of us know that publicly admits they made a mistake?
Uh-huh. Well, listen, again, I work in Washington, so I'm going to say none.
Correct. So, well, Sarah, thanks for bringing us attention. And TUSD here in has always been a train wreck. And it's one of the reasons Tucson as a community is devolving, is there's such a bad school district. So believe it or not, when we hang up with you, we're going to do a story about them fudging their attendance records. So it doesn't mess with their money.
Well, keep talking about it, because darkness flees from the light of exposure. So I'm going to do it in Washington. You guys do it there in Arizona. I appreciate the work you guys do.
All right, young lady. Have a good day. Sarah Perry, good job.
Thanks so much.
All right, you take care. All right, when we come back, let's play the Cavazos piece on TUSD fudging their attendance records. I'm being very nice so far is how I describe this. I'll let Val do the finishing move.
She do the dirty work.
The Ricky Steamboat reverse knife edge to finish off the match, as they say. Valerie Cavazos coming up next. Come on, Luann. Where the hell are you? Let's go to Valerie Cavazos again, who is one of the few people at KOLD News who actually does this thing called reporting. J.D. Wallace once in a while does some decent work. We know what the Dudster does. Special fella. I know they're still working on some spelling mistakes also at KOLD. They almost got feud. They almost got it today. We'll be fine. So let's go to Valerie. It's audits reveal TUSD told to repay state funds could risk losing more over student attendance reporting. This is a 6-minute piece. That's half of the entire broadcast of after you subtract all the commercials. So Matt Neely. We're almost there. Hold on. I see Dandy Dan's talking.
Only had been ordered to repay state funds, it's at risk of losing even more.
Chief investigative reporter Valerie Cavazos has been taking a deep dive into why some TUSD teachers have been frustrated with how the district handles chronic absenteeism.
I got my hands on two audit reports on student attendance. One is from the Arizona Department of Education in 2021. This one is a follow-up internal audit report in April of this year. The new audit reveals serious issues haven't been fixed, and tonight, what a board member has to say about it.
Oh, the music. Oh, that bass.
It's one of the top reasons nationwide teachers say they leave the profession. Lack of support on discipline, including chronic absenteeism. Education leaders say by high school, it's linked to lower grades and higher dropout rates.
Yes, it's very difficult to maintain a classroom setting when you have students that are absent 2-3 times a week. And you can't keep them current.
After 25 years in TUSD, high school teacher Lisa Neighbors retired this year. She says absenteeism must be reported accurately, data analyzed quickly, and communicated effectively to help get to the root causes and figure out solutions.
That's just not happening. The teachers are getting support from their principals. They're not getting support from the district because it's the district telling the principal.
Right. And the district needs to
follow their policies. Teachers feel that a lot of the rules, a lot of the policies are not being followed because it's a way to keep students, to keep the numbers in the district.
In Arizona, school funding is tied to student count. Districts can lose basic state aid when students miss classes or are dropped from schools. In TUSD's case, it had been ordered to repay nearly $280,000 in 2021. for misreporting the enrollment data of 250 students and failing to properly maintain some required documentation over 3 years. I sat down with Val Romero, who took over a board seat 2 years after the 2021 ADE audit.
Did you know about this? Did they ever tell you about this?
I did not know about that.
Okay.
The district had 3 years to fix all the issues, but it failed. The follow-up internal 2024 audit shows problems still persist, pointing to a litany of serious issues in a random sample of 420 student records. The audit reveals excused and unexcused absences reported to the ADE did not match TUSD's physical forms 100% of the time.
That seems like a total system failure.
Obviously, there is a process, a system in place that is not working.
Wouldn't a general meeting within the district be called for something like this?
So if I were running it like I would run my business, yes. TUSD, as I'm finding out, a lot of things are, they do things the way that they've always done it. So no one's really taking the time and effort.
The auditor listed more concerns: chronic tardiness, high levels of absences, no recorded involvement addressing the noted issues from administration, MTSS, or dropout prevention. The auditor added declined attention to managing students' attendance after the 100th days.
So there seems to be a drop off. Why do you think that would be the case?
Because we want that money.
Arizona's school formula funding is based on the 100th day attendance.
Hey, Matt.
The auditor determined the current student attendance process.
This is a long piece. There's a couple of things I just want to.
Yeah.
What stands out to you, Dr. Ash, when you heard what we've heard so far?
Where you start.
Now, what's interesting is the first part of this comes from the audit report. When this first came to light, at least to the state audit, right, is 2021.
Right.
Right? So they paid $200,000+ $280,000 in 2021 for misreporting the enrollment data.
They ultimately paid $230,000, but yes, that's a lot of money.
Right? I think we reached a settlement. I love that one. So then the idea that Val never knew it existed.
That is, I think, at the heart of the dishonesty of the administration.
Now, here's the other magic line here. This one. The audit revealed that excused and unexcused absences reported to the Arizona Department of Education did not match the physical forms 100% of the time.
Not 99%, not 75%, 100%.
What the hell?
Also known as all the time.
Yeah.
Correct. Or they never match. You could also say it that way. They never match.
I mean, so I'm just going to, it sounds like on purpose obfuscation. I'm trying to be very nice here. Or just fraud. Are we at fraud level with this? If it's 100% of the time, it doesn't match, right?
When's Gabe leaving?
Here's the other part too, and we're going to continue this after the top of the hour break. We still got to get to Bruce's movies. Okay, is I noticed that this didn't come up until after they got their bond passed. Have you noticed that? Right? Because you're supposed to trust us with the extra $500 million. Even though we've been lying to the state education on our attendance numbers. And at the same time, what else do we got here? Oh, we noticed that the declined attention to attendance records only happened after the 100th day, which is the day you figure out how much money you get per kid.
Once we get the money.
I hate to tell you, I like Gabe Trujillo. He needs to go. I never thought I'd say that. Gabe needs to be fired. Oh, and also, Ravi Shaw and Natalie Luna Rose need to be thrown out of office. You have a chance this November.
There's an election.
But we'll see. We'll talk about this more, and then we'll get to Bruce's movies. Wake up.